And there's no getting around being real. I'm Jevna.
And I'm Kisa.
And this is
Talk 360. All right.
Hi, friends.
Hi. It's been a while.
It's been a little minute.
We were out last week.
We were.
And it was a little bit impromptu, but necessary.
It was.
We were very unprepared, and also I was very, very busy. So the busyness is why we were unprepared. So we're traditionally very put together people, and we just weren't, and we knew it, and we had to.
You know, we want quality product for our followers, our listeners. We love y'all. We want to put good stuff out. So
exactly. So basically, I think I mentioned this in the last time we were here. I'm a part of this project that has students from 6 African countries that came over, and that has consumed my life. They were here for the past 5 weeks. The program ended on Saturday. And so finally, I have a little bit of time to breathe.
Okay. So what have you been up to?
So we went to New York. So a part of the program is going to learn about sites in America.
Okay.
So as you know, I went to D.C. that first time, which is why we didn't have the show that other time.
Right.
And then this week we went to New York. We visited the U.N. And the U.S. Mission, and went to a bunch of we went to the Schomburg Center, which is actually a research center on Black culture.
Oh,
really?
I didn't
interesting.
Even know about that.
Yeah. And like, so Langston Hughes is buried under like the front part of
wait, like
the,
for
like
real?
His ashes are like legit like under that building.
Okay.
And then I learned that every, I believe, first Friday or last Friday, they have like this event, free event with wine, and they invite the community to come out, and it's just super dope.
Okay.
And they have themes, so cultural themes. So I think last week's theme was like Brazil, and they do different things. But anyways,
that sounds cool. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, so we did visit the Schomburg Center, and then we also visited Studio Museum, which is like every I think month or so they switch to a different artist. So the entire museum is based
one
on one artist.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
So which is, and it's a Black artist.
Oh,
so Black
okay.
artists and stuff like that. So that was really interesting. So I like this program because I tend to get to do like other things that
right.
I wouldn't,
that
wouldn't traditionally
get to do
and for free.
Right.
So why
that's
not?
That's always cool.
So yeah, that was cool. And then I also got to spend some time with my family. And pretty much the week before that was so busy. We were on campus here, like wrapping up the program.
Right.
So yeah, that was that. What about you?
Honestly, I've been chilling out. I've been catching up on all the sleep. Your girl has been running ragged. So shout out to Club Bed. Like, I've been living in it. But other than that, I mean, I've been going out. I've been seeing some friends. I've been trying some new restaurants and some new food trucks. That's been keeping me kind of entertained or engaged. But
okay.
other than that, honestly, I've just been chilling and loving every second of it.
Ah, all right. So we're going to get into our roundup.
Mm-hmm.
We've missed quite a bit, so it's going to cover a couple of things that we still found interesting or that happened recently.
Yeah.
And the first, of course, is one of my favorite songs got a remix, and I wish they didn't do anything to it. I am upset.
I know.
So Beyonce got Nicki Minaj on her Flawless track, and they kind of completely redid it. They took out the quo, and it turned into what I would call a raunchy song. Like,
yeah,
it's a little tacky.
I feel like even the beat sounds a little different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
They did keep, of course, the I woke up like this part, because
yeah.
that's the really catchy part. But I guess the only, noteworthy part of this whole song is that Beyonce mentioned the whole elevator incident. Because as you know, since that happened, there hasn't been anything really talked about it where that's considered. So basically, she snapped back and was like, sometimes stuff goes down when there's $1 billion on an elevator. Now, she came for y'all next, because at the end of the day, she got money.
Right, she does.
But yeah, the track is whack. Listen
I know,
to it yourself.
Beehive, I mean, don't come for us. I actually really like Beyonce, but I need y'all to admit that this could have gone hard.
Yeah.
Like, and it just, At least for me, I thought, for what I feel like it could have been, like, and I feel like Nicki is like the queen of coming on and on features and killing it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was expecting more.
I wanted Monster Nicki.
Right. And it wasn't Monster Nicki. It just wasn't that. Like,
there was a part about, like, she wears Brazilian and Asian and la la la. And then Beyonce is like, girl. I'm Hungarian. And I'm like, hey? Okay. Like, what? This is dumb.
Stick to your surfboard.
But anyways, so that's that song. You can listen to it. You can see for yourself and tell us if we're like just being haters. Ugh, whatever.
Beehive, stand down, please. No shade.
But speaking of Nicki Minaj, she also came up with another song, which she actually had put on pause to release the Flawless song, Anaconda. So she had released the cover art for this video. And as you know, it was all buns. Mm. Hot buns.
Yeah.
In a thong, you know, look back at it. Nicki was
she was in full effect.
Yeah, she went back to Queens hood Nicki with the Jordans, a thong. I mean, she did have the toned down makeup, but it was just a lot, and she got a little bit of she got a lot of backlash for it. And I mean, I think rightly so, because not that we don't think sex sells or that sex is inappropriate, but it's just like, I feel like it's above Nicki at this point. Like, she's talented, relatively talented, but she's also pretty popular. So I don't think she has to regress to doing that.
Right. Especially, I mean, I guess I didn't get it because I feel like her whole game plan as of late has been toning things down.
Right. And she was also, because, you know, she had another picture like with her in the front, so the same pose but from the front with a lollipop.
That was years ago. Was that a mixtape? I don't think that was an album.
But she told a lot of blog sites to take it down. Like, she was embarrassed by that photo once she got to.
So it's like, why is it okay?
Yeah. And I mean, she tried to clap back and say like, we are giving her so much flack because she has a big butt, and if it was like a white supermodel, and she put up a tons of supermodels in like bare bottoms and thongs, and you know, trying to come back. And I thought,
and I mean, a part of me gets that. I mean, I feel like that's the same almost argument when it comes to breasts. You know what I mean? The things that an A cup or a small B can get away with a dress, you know, like think J-Lo with that, I mean, from like the 2000s, that long V-neck in the front. Itty Bitty Titty Committee is the only ones who can do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, I kind of get what she's saying, but still at the end of the day, you know you were doing a lot. You know you had yourself open for the feedback.
Right.
Take it as it is.
And I don't think people, a lot of people were black, and it's not that they don't appreciate a nice butt. So it's not about whether we would accept it if models did it. Not to mention, that's a model's job. Like, you're doing this as a byproduct of your
And I feel like models being nude is usually more artistic.
Right.
No, like, let's be real. Like, this wasn't like this classed up art super artistic like thing. Like, you was.
I mean, it's a nice
looking
picture.
Looking back at it, I mean, she looks nice.
She looks good. No but shade. Like, I just didn't think she had to do that, and I think she's done sexy and looked good without
it
being provocative.
That's
and without it. So I didn't think it was necessary. But anyways, do you, boo boo? Do you? On the flip side, that song is whack.
We back at it.
Like,
oh, the Anaconda one.
Yes,
I haven't
bad.
Even listened to it.
So bad. Yikes. So she sampled Baby Got Back.
Oh. So I guess that's where the album art comes in.
Yeah.
Okay.
She sampled that, and the lyrics are basic, and I don't know, two whack songs in a week, Nicki? Like, seriously.
But that's what I'm used to with Nicki. I feel like she's kind of like garbage on her records.
But she came out with two other songs before, like, that were Pills and Potions. I liked it.
It's fluff, though.
All right.
We're going to leave this alone. Yeah, this is not a critique of Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Whatever. But whatever.
All right. Nicki looked back at it. People were clapping back about it. Okay. We got it.
So a few weeks ago, Chris Brown's out of jail, and he's been doing a lot. Supposedly, he went to St. Tropez with Karrueche's friend and all this stuff.
And
but
have you seen him?
And he is fat.
I want to say,
but you know what?
Don't do that. Right, see, you ain't right. You ain't right, Keys.
All right. He's fatter.
He's not the old.
He's
not what
we're
Chris
used
to.
To
be.
Yeah. All right. We're fat. He's fatter than what we're used to. We're
you
used to Chris.
Saying fat.
We're used to Chris.
I don't even think that's fair. He,
all right.
He put some
chunky.
Some,
chubby?
Some,
is chubby appropriate?
Going, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, he had six-pack abs, and now, like,
he's looking real fluffy.
Hi,
he ain't Michelin
guy.
Man, though, so let's not call him Fatty McFat. Like, that's not what's going on.
All right. Whatever. Anyways. Yeah,
it's he's been out here. We've been seeing him, like, enjoying himself.
So he went to a party the other day with Trey Songz and Tyga and some soccer player. And also with the Kardashian sisters. Now, not the older ones, the young ones. The 16-year-old and the 18-year-old. Now, I don't know. We know the Kardashians have their kids all out there, but I just felt it was really inappropriate for a 16-year-old
to be rolling to in be that circle.
And like, why would Trey Songz with his old self at 28 and Chris Brown at 26 want to hang out with a 16-year-old?
I think it's all just PR. Like,
I get that, but she's 16. At the end of the day, like, at what point do celebrities take some accountability and just some common sense? Like, maybe Kendall, who's 18,
because I feel like Trey just wants to be talked about because his album just dropped. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I think that this
She's 16 years old, and you're hugged up with her, like, in a chokehold type hold. Like, she's 16. Like, no matter how grown she looks, she's 16 years old, 2 years away from being, like, an adult.
Like, she ain't legal yet. Like, stop it.
Not even close. So I just thought it was inappropriate. But anyways, that's it for celebrity news. Everything else that happened in the world, we don't care about. Sorry.
Didn't make the cut. Sorry,
didn't
y'all.
Make the cut. But what does make the cut, and actually it kind of hits home for me, because as I mentioned, I'm part of the program with the 6 African students. So the Ebola epidemic.
It's real out here,
it's
y'all.
Real, and it's affecting people I know. Mm-hmm. And so... This the world thing has mentioned that there has been 518 deaths in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, with it hitting Sierra Leone the hardest.
Oh, man.
Liberia is second hardest, and Guinea has a few. Nigeria, there's been one case and one death. And as you know, we had one U.S. doctor who caught it, and then they brought him back to Atlanta, and that brought a whole bunch of hoopla.
Right.
But as far as I know, they've closed the borders
yep.
to the African countries, to Sierra Leone and Liberia right. and Guinea. The students I know here who live there, their families are saying, like, work is closed, school is closed, like, everything's closed.
Right.
The only thing open is the airport, but no flights going out.
Can go out.
Right. They're still taking
flights
in.
And who's trying
in.
To go in?
Right. So it's just a tragic situation, but supposedly there is a quote unquote in air quotes secret serum that they use on the doctor in Atlanta that he is recovering.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden a white person catches it and we have a secret serum.
Do you know what's crazy? There was actually an article on The Onion, and y'all know The Onion. I hope everybody knows TheOnion.com is not real news. It is all satire.
Right.
Please, first of all, let's state that. But there was an article where it was like scientists say that it will take in 50 white deaths they'll have the cure for Ebola. Like, that was the benchmark. Like, they will not let like 20 white people die. Because if 20 white people die, it's too much.
Yes.
But, like, no. But that, you know, to speak on what you said, like, man.
It's kind of crazy.
Sometimes it really feels like that. I'm not even going to play.
No, for real. So, you know.
No, but it's real out here. It's looking like contagion. I'm not here for it.
Right. And the source of it is still up in the air, kind of. Mm-hmm. But we do know that it's not contagious through the air. It's kind of like HIV. It's bodily fluids. So if you're not, you know, doing all that. But it's still happening. It's still crazy. And it's been 2,000 deaths since we found out about this actual virus.
Man.
But just 518 in the past few weeks since July 6th.
Yep.
That's still a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And as far as one of the students, like I told you, told me, like, the one doctor that could treat Ebola in Sierra Leone is now dead from Ebola. So it's kind of a struggle. So my heart goes out to Africa and those countries.
It gets contained, it gets resolved.
And
people
they can get
treated.
That. The secret could no longer be a secret. And they could get it to Africa and actually help people. So that's that. In other really sad news, or maybe slightly good
honestly,
sad
I think
news.
It's a little I think it's a little positive.
All right. So you know we did the whole show, right?
Right, about Eric Garner, and we talked about, like, there's just this use of excessive force and police brutality that's been going on or that's been a trend. And pretty much last Friday, the New York City Medical Examiner's Office finally released a statement about Eric Garner's death.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much in the statement, they officially ruled that his cause of death was a homicide. And they stated that, like, you know, suffocation and like the crushing of his neck, you know, as the things that led up to his death.
Yeah. And I watched the video again because actually this news came out, I think, over this weekend. And so I was watching it on the news in New York. Mm-hmm. And I watched the video again and I was like, how can they not think this is right? Like, there was a point where the officer in the green shirt, so the one that was not in uniform, had his hand, both his hands, on his head, and his head is between the concrete and this guy's hand.
Right.
And he has his whole
full body weight
yep. on this guy's head. Now tell me why. And there's already like
on your head. Yes. Y'all realize a head is only but so big.
Yeah. And there's already like five people restraining him. Like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's good in the sense that, like, I feel like, you know, with all these situations, we're always so worried because 9 times out of 10, it gets swept under the rug. They get paid leave. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But now you, the
because there was one police on desk duty, yep. which is still a paid job.
Right, right, right.
It's just not out in the field.
Exactly. But the one who actually, I guess, was the one who put him in the chokehold has been stripped of his gun and badge and, mm-hmm. and pending the investigation. And I guess 2 paramedics and 2 EMTs, I guess, who were on site or responded have also been suspended as well.
Oh,
so
yes.
So it's actually extending beyond, you know, just the cops.
Right.
So I feel like it's a good sign in the sense that at least we know for once. I feel like I feel confident in the fact that maybe they're actually taking this investigation seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good. Like, you can't run from a homicide rule.
Right, right, right.
Somebody has to answer to that.
Right, and someone has to go to jail for it or at least be punished. So that's good or bad. I never know what really, but yeah.
Yeah.
In other news,
I feel like the next few stories are just some interesting articles we came across.
We came across a few things, and it has a lot to do with things we all possess, like a face and a name.
Right.
So there's been a group of researchers from the University of York in the UK. They did a study on a bunch of images.
Yep.
And they found out that we have first impressions of people based on their profile photo, and these characteristics of your face, the physical features, correlate to certain specific first impressions.
Right. So, like, just based off, like, so long story short, like, they can just look at facial features and with a pretty strong level of accuracy determine what most people's first impression would be of that individual.
Right. So they're saying, like, a size of a person's smile is indicative of how approachable they are.
Right.
And then if you, large eyes are indicative of some level of youthfulness or attractiveness. Well, yeah. And then the more masculine you look is kind of deemed like dominance.
So like power, right. Or like whatever.
Right. And so there's variations of it. So I think they were saying, like, if you have like large eyes, a broad nose, a big smile, you seem to be like friendlier.
Right.
So there's just certain things that people like, and they actually assessed profile photos.
Right.
So not people's faces, but profile photos. So, and I think that's true because I feel like there's been times where I looked at a guy, I'm like, oh my God, he looks like a child molester.
No. Real talk. it's usually like little eyes. Yeah. No, honestly.
No, seriously. Like, So I feel like that's kind of true.
Yeah.
And people who tend to have large, big smiles do tend to look more friendly.
Yeah.
And people with smirks seem to come across a little like
genuine.
Yeah. Like, you know, so I mean, I think this is real life. I think that I look at it that way.
I just
like,
think it's interesting that they were able to actually do the, you know, analyze all the images to be able to predict, you know what I mean? Like, oh, most people will think this person is a nice guy.
Right.
That's pretty much what they're saying.
So basically, if you're on Tinder, smile wide and have large eyes.
Open your eyes.
Because, you know, that's all you use on Tinder is a
or
profile photo.
Or don't go
photo.
On Tinder because Tinder is sketch. That's another option.
Oh, my God.
Jevna advises you to follow her advice.
Anyways, in another article, it calls Who Wins the Name Game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like we all kind of know this already,
but
it's kind of interesting to see proof and to see someone kind of have
find some statistical backing.
And have like an anecdote to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, for the most part, it went with the fact that people whose names you can't pronounce easily, whether that's your own cultural name. So in this particular case, this guy went to France and his name's Cody. We would think that's a simple name. Right. But for the French girl, that name was hard to pronounce.
Right.
And the French girl's name was Hedwige, I think, which
I think that's not something that...
It's a French name. Yeah. It's a traditional French name.
Right.
But for him... For her, that's normal. And for people in France, that would be a normal name that they could pronounce and that they're used to. And so his whole point, to circle back, was that people, that if they had known each other, like if they were familiar with each other's names, they would have probably continued a friendlier conversation and probably been on a date. But because they had that hindrance of not being able to pronounce each other's names or being confused by the name, they had issues. So based on that anecdote, they went into... the fact that within jobs and life and as kids, we tend to prefer names we can pronounce. And even like companies with easier names tend to have people invest more and care about that product, like Apple and like IBM, like things that are simple. Mm-hmm. Whereas names that are complex, we tend to kind of fade away from it.
Right.
But one of the most interesting parts, and Jeff Noel will get into that,
is the fact that, I mean, they ended up surmising that... at the end of the day, the people who do win out are names that maybe tend to appear to be male, names that are, like you said, easy to pronounce, and names that have less syllables.
Right.
So
usually, as we want to say, white names. The Greg Whites, the Amy, you know, the Amys, the Marys, Smith. The Smiths, the simple names. And they're actually said that, like, I think that, what did I use? Jamal.
Right.
That a name like Greg White would get a job with 8 years less experience than a Jamal.
I need y'all to run that back. Like, I need y'all to understand what she just said. She just said
a name like Greg White would get a job with 8 years less experience than a Jamal. So Jamal would have had to been in the work industry for eight years to get the same job that Greg White just got.
And I think that's that study, this is a study that I think that was done around 2004. They said that was regardless of whether or not Jamal came from a privileged background and Greg came from an underprivileged one.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Names are important. Names are important. And, I mean, I hate it.
So that, I guess what I want to stay on is the fact that regardless of, because, you know, we're always arguing, but if you have access and if you can advance yourself with regards to education, they just told you that still doesn't even matter.
For real. That's crazy.
You're still 8 years behind if you come off as, I guess, a minority or
and
whatever.
The
based
thing
on
about
your name.
That is, too, it's like now we would probably assume or make a hypothesis that, well, if you name your child, we should probably tell Black people are people who are more inclined to have tons of syllables in their names that they shouldn't.
I mean, how many times have you heard that joke or the argument? You know, you're holding your kid back. Like,
no, but I don't think that should be the case.
It shouldn't.
You know, like any name.
The world is what the world is.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a couple of things that
we just thought they were really interesting articles.
And obviously we'll put it in our show.
So you guys can check out more details.
Read into it some more. But they're pretty interesting. So we'll have that up for you. Anyways, we're going to move into our faves of the week.
Yes, ma'am.
And as I mentioned, I was in New York. So if you ever want to travel to New York, I went to Harlem a lot. And I don't know. I haven't really gone to Harlem a lot, even though I lived in New York for a while. So anyways, there was a really great Indian restaurant that I went to called Red Chili Indian Cafe.
I still haven't had any Indian food.
So good.
Really?
So good. And they did it like family style.
So it's just like a bunch of...
Yeah, and they brought out a bunch of stuff and I was just eating and eating and eating. They had these like potato fritter things and like things that looked like beef patties but had like other stuff in it. And it was just this awesome chicken with this deep, 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 thick red sauce. And it was just awesome, like a bunch of awesomeness. I also went to, I didn't realize they had, so because I was with African students, we took them to like this little Africa kind of. So it's like this market.
Little taste of home.
Yeah, it was really cool. And they had like wares and jewelry and bags and authentic African clothing. So that was one of the things that I did in Harlem. I also went to another lounge called Chocolat, had a really good like dinner with my friend one night. So yeah, I really think we should explore Harlem a little bit more, or at least, you know, other than live there and then go into the city, I think there's tons of things in Harlem.
So is Harlem now your
I don't know. Maybe Harlem's my fave of the week.
Yeah.
Because there was a bunch of stuff that I did. And the Schomburg Center and the museum.
Oh, that was all in Harlem?
Yeah. Everything that I did that day was in Harlem.
Okay.
So I think shout out to Harlem.
Okay.
That's my fave of the week.
All right. So for me, I'm letting y'all into a side of me that most people don't actually get to see that often. The drama geek in me. So I used to do musicals and stuff when I was in high school.
Really?
I did. And I just saw something a few days ago and it made me really excited. So apparently Disney is coming out with a new movie. I think it's going to be released either the end of this year. Now I can't remember. Either way. Into the Woods. This is a musical that I love, a musical that I was in, a musical that I had a lead role in. I played the witch, y'all. Shout out to me.
I don't even know this thing.
That's Oh my God. Into the Woods is so good. The music is so good. It's a Sondheim musical. I'm sounding like a drama nerd. But Sondheim is amazing. He has really complex and like his composing.
But you can sing, so that's where you'd be getting your singing voice from.
I mean,
Well, you could sing, so that's what you did.
I did.
Okay,
in a past life,
Debra could sing, y'all. Well, she has a nice voice. I don't know if she could sing.
Oh, word? That's how you go through me? All right, whatever. Good thing I ain't resting on those laurels. I'll be all right. But yeah, so whatever. I saw the trailer. It looked really good. I'm really excited. I'm in there. Anybody else who likes musicals, you're free to join me.
I like musicals. I would come.
Okay,
I do.
Let's do it.
You know, I went to see The Color Purple in Chicago. And
I love it. I might be singing in my seat. I still remember like all the
Hairspray.
Songs.
Hairspray. Really?
I do.
So can I tell you a really quick story?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought In the Heights. I really wanted to see.
I
bought tickets last summer.
You didn't get to
and
go?
Completely forgot about the fact that I bought the tickets.
Oh,
I was
no.
so mad. I was so mad.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are they playing anywhere? Like
nowhere close ever again. But like I literally used to listen to the soundtrack. There's
all the time.
Like the intro song all the time. I know all the words. I'm like, I haven't even seen
so
the
ready
show.
For it.
So ready. And then
that's why you gotta throw those things on your calendar straight away.
Ever since that time, I've never forgotten to put anything in my calendar.
No, honestly. That's my
$35 down the drain.
I'm a slave
so
to that
mad.
Calendar. But yes. Shout out to Into the Woods. Shout out to Sondheim. Shout out to Disney for making it a movie. I'm excited.
All right, y'all. So, as you know, every week we pick a topic to discuss and talk
we
about.
Do.
And two things kind of propelled or pushed us towards this topic.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, Obama was at a town hall meeting
yep.
for my brother's keeper.
Yep.
And he was posed with a question mm-hmm. From a Native American
mm-hmm.
About.
I mean, he was pretty. The premise of his question was just along the lines of, like, kind of what is going to be done because a lot of the youth, the Native American youth who are in, you know, on the reservations or just in the nation are losing their culture, their heritage. They're just losing the grasp that they have to their culture.
Right.
So he was really just posing the question, like, what can we do? Like, what can be done?
Right. And, you know, it was a long-winded answer, but as a part of his answer, and because we're black.
Obviously, Obama's black.
Right. He talked a little bit about black people keeping their culture.
Right.
And kind of referred to the whole thing of being told we act white
mm-hmm.
and how he's been told that kind of. So he kind of delved into that.
Right.
And as a part of it, he said, there's this notion of acting white, and he said is overstated, but there's an element of truth to it, which I'll get into that part.
Yep.
But he was like, if boys are reading too much, then and if they're speaking properly and all this stuff. But he was basically saying that you can do other things and still be authentic.
Right.
Which I read as you can be white, but still be black. That's how I read it.
Okay. Based on the conventions
yeah.
that they're...
Right. Yeah. Like, okay. Why is it that reading, mm-hmm. being educated... I'm not even going to say talking properly, because talking properly is very subjective.
But I mean, honestly, but I think that is... Let's keep it real. I think that is an aspect of it as well.
All right. Talking properly, mm-hmm. whatever. I feel like at the end of the day, to me, mm-hmm. I respect you, Obama, but you're insinuating that mm-hmm. those things are white. And despite you doing those quote unquote white things, mm-hmm. you can still be authentic. And he uses the example, which is why I think what I think is true. Mm-hmm. He uses the example of Michelle. And he says she grew up on the South Side and that her, you know, she lived in a neighborhood where gunshots went off. So basically in a dangerous, urban, predominantly black neighborhood.
Right.
And she says, but she'll talk proper when she needs to. Uh-huh. As if to say that that talking proper cannot happen despite, you know, like that it doesn't come as a package. Like it's different than your culture.
I feel like, I mean, again, I don't know exactly where he's coming from. I'm not trying to speak on behalf of the president. I'm not the White House correspondent. I'm not trying to do that.
No, but then, wait.
Okay.
So he goes, but she'll talk proper when she needs to. Uh-huh. However, if you get on her wrong side, she can translate into that vernacular. And he's basically responding by saying, so yes, you can do that, but be authentic. So what he implied is that when she got buck, she was being authentic.
I hear what you're saying, and I can see where the issues lie in that. Now, what I think really needs to be discussed is that there is an inherent duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
In how most people as black people exist mm-hmm. in society and in culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something where it's like, well, at least for me in my circle of friends, I think that you are in a situation where you are able to exist in different arenas and areas.
I get right? that.
And I mean, I feel like I think at the end of the day, what I wish this conversation would actually just boil down to is people having sense and knowing that there is a time and place for everything and everything has its time and
okay,
its place.
But to me,
I think that's really what needs to be the issue.
Okay. All right, I get it. But why is the proper, articulate, educated, professional time a white time?
Right.
And why is the hood doing your slang, being ratchet with your friends, going to the club, dancing, having a good time, the black time?
Right. I mean, I'm here with you. I don't like it. Like, and that's why today we call the topic White is Right.
Right.
But that's a question.
Right.
And that's the question we're posing to you all. Is that really the case? Like, and why is the case? Why is it that if you, based on, again, societal norms and what most people will tell you, Keisha, what you're saying is right. Most people automatically align, you know, talking properly, being literate, using proper diction, enunciating, right?
I've been called an Oreo before.
Wait. With being white. Mm-hmm. I hear that. Even me right now, I'm sitting here, I'm talking to y'all, I say y'all. I say whatever I feel like saying.
Uh-huh.
Now, am I on the phone at my job saying y'all and we out here? And no, that is the vernacular that I have with based on
but at the
my
end of the day,
situation and where
no,
I'm at.
And that's fair.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I don't think the radio show Jevna mm-hmm. is the Oreo Jevna. And I don't think the chilling at your house Jevna.
No, I think me is me is me.
Right.
But
because
me,
at the end of the
but
day.
But I have sense and I have tact and I know when certain things are and are not acceptable.
Right.
Because professionalism is professionalism.
No, yeah.
It's not about, and this is what I'm saying. This is why I wish we could take. The issue I have with this is why are we even putting white and black into it?
Right.
Do you understand? This is where I'm. This is right. where Jevna
no,
feels
yeah.
on
because
this.
Because at the end of the day,
I don't think that should be in there.
Right.
It should be. This is what's right, and this is what's wrong based on certain situations.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, okay, you're in the ghetto. Does it make sense to be talking if most of the people you're talking to have not gone beyond a high school education? Does it make sense to be dropping mad SAT words if you want them to understand something?
No,
that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Do you get
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So I feel like my issue with this entire dialogue that always ends up happening and is more so the fact that why are we even putting in that it's black and white? Do you know what I mean? Why are we trying to attribute anything with white
but
and black?
What,
it should just be what's right and what's wrong
no,
and what's appropriate
but do you
and
know
what's not.
Interesting? The interesting part of this, though, and this is the flip side, is mm-hmm. that I feel like while some white people might call slang and stuff thuggish and, you know, associated with blackness, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times the acting white is from our own kind. Like, it's from black people. I feel like very rarely would you hear a white... Well, that's not true.
Because I feel like...
Because I'm going to play you this clip.
Yeah, play the clip. So she's about to play... I don't know if you guys know. There is a movie that's... I think it's actually been released for like the film festivals, but I think it's coming out to theater soon.
Yeah, and it's called Dear White People. And there's a small section of it.
Yeah, so she's going to play a clip from
the trailer. A little bit of the trailer. So hopefully you can catch on. If you don't, I'll explain.
Black people scare you?
I listen to Mumford and Sons and watch Robert Altman movies. Think I'm black enough for the union?
Lionel, please. You're only technically black.
So because he listens to certain kind of music, he's a little bit more reserved. As you can hear, if you heard a little bit of his speech, he mm-hmm. speaks properly. And so the white girl says to him...
But look at that. You're doing what you said you don't like to be done. Why is that him speaking properly? He's just not using a vernacular. Well, do you understand? This is what I'm talking about. Like, I feel like we need to talk about this in ways that do not. Okay, so before I was saying good and bad or whatever, uh-huh. but like, why is him just speaking? Like, why are we even saying that this is him speaking properly?
No, honestly, I'm just saying. I'm saying that to make the point of our point.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. what you're saying is what I would like. I would like for professionalism to be professionalism and not assigned to a race or class
or culture
or whatever. Professionalism is professionalism, and that's what I want. Because at the end of the day, it still doesn't make sense to say someone's acting white, because white people don't behave professionally and act white.
I wish I had told you to cue up this track. Y'all know about Honey Boo Boo. How many of y'all know about Honey Boo Boo? So, Toddlers and Tiaras, this girl took the world by storm. Was it a show on TLC?
Yeah, TLC.
Okay. So, but they're this girl, they call themselves redneck. I'm not out here trying to assign this to them. They claim it, okay? Like, they own it. But they're a hot mess of a, like, they are the hottest of a hot messes, okay? And they're out here talking like... Y'all better recognize, like, all this craziness. So, like, that's why it's like when you say, oh, you talk white. I would play that. I would cue up that feedback. You know, that sound
is
clip
this
for you.
How I sound?
Does that sound white? Is that what you're telling me? Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, my God.
So,
but what I really want to happen, mm-hmm. I think, going back to the question to Obama anyway, which is why I think what he said is kind of a tangent. Mm-hmm. He asked about culture.
Right.
And I don't think diction and all that is cultural. I don't think professionalism is cultural. I think when he says keep your culture, mm-hmm. I think what he probably wanted him to say is like, I wish our youth knew about our history.
Our language.
Knew about our language.
Knew about our people. Customs. Knew about their
exactly.
history.
Exactly. Right. Knew about even the food they make.
And those are still, I mean, I feel like those are arguments that are still being made. Yeah, we have Black History Month, but those are arguments that can still be made for Black people.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how, you know, how hard is it for you to find out, like, you know, the history about our people and, like, you know, certain things that have gone attributed to, I guess, the white man or whatever for so long when...
It was funny, just saying that, a kind of tangent. So at the Schomburg Center, mm-hmm. I can't remember his name, and this is sad. So this is proof of it. But anyways, they had a name/Edison room, mm-hmm. and it was supposed to be Thomas Edison. And and the guy asked us, he was like, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. And we're like, but he is really the guy who created the light.
Yeah.
And Thomas Edison is just like the marketing person.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the marketing person. He's just the person that allowed it to be popular.
Right.
And I don't even remember the name right now as I'm talking about
it. Like, was it a high gun now? I don't want
to say
that.
So I feel like that's what we mean. Like, getting to know your history, getting to know about yourself, being familiar with where you came from. Mm-hmm. So I think. I think a lot of Black people aren't even Black if we go by that, like, kind of, you know what I mean?
I know I'm not trying to be funny and have a pun, but, like, this, what we're talking about is not so Black and white.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not that simple. Like, we're not even, based on the clip you played, we're not even talking about the fact that Kesa, you and I, we both are brown. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess, I mean, you're a little more Caribbean than I am. I'm first generation American. But no, but honestly, I'm just speaking, right? Let me finish. But like, okay, if two people were to look at us, I mean, for the most part, we have the same sense of humor or whatever the case might be, but we kind of like different music. It's like, is that not allowed? Is that not allowed to exist?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Just like the guy in that clip. He said he liked Mumford & Sons. Like, what now? So I'm black. I'm supposed to like...
Because I feel like the bigger issue is I don't think it makes sense to look at these things in black and white because what... bigger issue, really, what is black and white?
Exactly.
This is where all the problem lies.
Right. And so that's why it upset me that I feel like even though Obama articulately explained something and a lot of people, like an article we read, like they're using his response to kind of...
Because, I mean, first of all, the fact that he even... I'm not going front. I think the fact that he even broached the topic and was able... I mean, it was kind of a tangent, but I'm actually kind of happy he took it there.
No, yeah, but that's the thing. Like, he broached the topic, he talked about it, and I feel like a lot of people will be in agreement with him and not think about it critically.
How
like,
technically he's still kind he's of appropriating still, yeah, things yeah. in a way that's not favorable for...
Exactly, because blacks, why would you bring up the people. Fact that you're... why would you bring up the fact that Michelle grew up in a neighborhood with gunshots? Like, what? So that's black and her
like,
culture?
Why is that real? Why
yeah,
is that
like, why is that
what
authentic?
Her culture is?
Yeah, like I don't understand. Yeah, so Mr. Obama, dear Obama,
are you about to read the president? I am not going to allow this to happen on Talk 360. This is not happening on my show. You're not about to read Obama. Kesa, choose your words wisely. What is about to go down?
Dear Obama, I like you, but you need to have a seat. Thank you.
He needs to have a seat, though? Yeah. All of that?
All the seats.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but...
The reason why I'm upset about it is because, again... A lot of people take what he says, like, for real life. There are people who analyze it and are critical of it in, like, an over-the-top way. Like, pretty much everything he says is trash.
Right.
But then there are people who everything he says is gold. And so I think that's a little bit problematic still.
Right.
You know? And the whole acting white thing is also problematic. It really is. Mostly because, like I said, when I was growing up, when I was much younger, living in Jamaica, whatever, the nerdy kid, whatever, and I got called Oreo all the time.
I was a cool nerd. I was the girl who was, like, really smart, but, like, nobody knew she was smart because I was, like, mad cool.
See, even Jevna's feeding into it because Jevna's trying
Am
to
I?
Say. Yeah.
I'm talking about being nerdy.
I'm the cool nerd.
What? Did I say anything about race? See, Kisa's trying to cover my neck. I said nothing. I said nothing of race.
Oh, my God. Anyways. Anyways. I guess our whole point is just to kind of sum this up is I don't like acting white, but I also don't like us saying when we're describing or trying to talk about it by still living up to these like categories.
Appropriations.
Right. So that's my issue with it as well. So my issue, I have an issue with the whole people who say it. Mm-hmm. And then I have an issue with people who talk about it like, okay, I don't act white because I still go home and kick it with the homies on the block. I'm not here for that either.
Right.
Because kicking it with the homies on the block is... white people, Asian people, Indian people go home and hang out with their friends all the time.
Right. And I mean, to be honest, though, I mean, I feel like this topic kind of has a lot of layers to
it.
Because, I mean, to be honest, we didn't even completely delve into the whole idea of, like, code switching. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, that is something that, no lie, most people, if you grew up in the inner city somewhere, or, like, I mean, to be honest, like, I am... from a suburb, South Shore of Boston. Like, I know where I'm from, Deep Dark Woods, what up? Like, But, I mean, I was still in the city. Like, I used to take the MBTA everywhere. I was always downtown, like, or whatever. So, like, I mean, I knew what was going on in the city, and, like, I kind of ran in those circles. But, like, I don't know. Like, I guess the thing at the end of the day is code switching and, like, understanding there is a time and place, understanding that, like,
again, what I think the point is culturally, being Black is cultural. Being Black is identifying with your Blackness. Being Black is...
whatever, but I think the bigger issue is whatever... I'm not even trying to take it there, because there's the whole issue of what is Blackness in and of itself.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's cultural. Whether your Blackness is defined by your Caribbeanness, like coming from the Caribbean, being Jamaican, being whatever, knowing that that's your culture and embracing it and still, you know, not trying to hide it and all that. I think that's, but so just identifying with your, with yourself culturally.
Okay.
You know, that's what I think that is. And not more so how we talk, how educated we are, what music we listen to, what we wear. Like, I feel like that it should not be indicative of Blackness, whiteness, being Asian. Like, you know, so I think that's the main point. If you guys have any comments on this topic, and we think about this, like, we pick topics that can be strong and long. So we try to condense it as much as possible using things that happen and try to keep it into
keep
one,
a frame of reference.
Yeah, like a one little circle. So like I mentioned before, I think at the end of the day, when we talk about this, we shouldn't keep perpetuating it, even though we're negating it.
Especially when at the end of the day, all the negative characteristics are being appropriated to one people and the positive ones are being appropriated to another.
Exactly.
So let's keep Black and whiteness out of it. Mm-hmm. Let's not make white right.
Exactly. Oh, simple? Jevna.
Easy enough?
Simple.
One takeaway, y'all. Just one. Okay. Just that one.
All right. So we're going to move into our 360 no. And I guess this particular topic,
it kind of has to do with what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
No? It does.
Because here comes Time Magazine.
Time is so great.
So you know what? Now that I think about it and we've had this discussion, maybe I should be happy they're exploring this word.
That's true. You know what? That's true. But it's still funny because I look at it in the sense of time is this news.
All right, yeah.
That's
why they get the 360.
This
no.
This is why they're, at least for
time,
me.
Time, is this news?
Is this right. news?
But I appreciate you exploring the word. Okay. So they have a piece called This Is What Bae Means. Now, some of you may or may not know what bae means, so we about to tell you. Or we about to tell you what Time
what
tells
time
you.
What Time Magazine says bae means.
They explored the word because of Pharrell. He had a song, something, something bae. I can't remember. Whatever. So he had a song.
Is it with no.
Something like, I love my bae. I don't know. Whatever. He came out with a new song and bae is in it. And so they kind of explored what it is. And at first they're like, oh, bae is pretty much like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or someone who you find who could be a prospect. And then they even use the example of if you're Beyonce, if you take a picture of Beyonce, you happen to be Jay-Z, you might say chilling with my bae.
Right.
But then they go even further. So I'm like, okay, like, they put up a, they
and
show.
I feel like this individual quote might be the biggest portion of the 360.
It goes, one tale supposes that bae is in fact the acronym BAE, standing for before anyone else.
Do like, you need really a stool for that reach? Reaching so far. Like, come on, y'all.
Like, Time Magazine, seriously. And then they went on further to say, to investigate whether it was short for baby or babe, or whether
probably where it came up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But initially they're saying it's just a natural word that just came up out of nowhere, just slang, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they also talk about how Google, the Google searches have increased for what it is. So they're not the only ones curious about what the word means. Mm-hmm. And come on, Time. Y'all got me. This is the second time y'all did this. When y'all did that article on Felon Bae, and now this.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I'm not here for you.
I'm just like, y'all get the 360 though, because like, come on, y'all. Like, this is not news.
Not news.
I'm sure there are plenty of other things that could be discussed besides the words bae. But like Kisa said, I appreciate y'all giving some vernacular some shine.
But seriously, before anyone else, Time Magazine, seriously, we went back to look into the history of Roman words. That's what they said, like a tale, Roman tale. Like, seriously, we really think bae was 500 years ago? Like, what?
Before anyone else. I'm sorry. Y'all are comical. Y'all are not real life.
Yeah, Time Magazine.
That's my bae. That's my before anyone else.
I mean, it kind of works, and I can see why they did all that.
It works better than thought. So we're going to leave that alone.
Oh, they about to explore thought next.
Probably.
We're going to look for that one.
Right. Actually, we won't. That will go straight to trash.
Anyway, so 360 to Time Magazine for exploring the word bae. Like, seriously, one Twitter search, you could have figured it out.
Like, and you know they had multiple, like, fact checkers and stuff. Like, this is what's nuts to me. Like, y'all realize this was a real piece in a real magazine? So, like, there were multiple people who, like, spent real work hours, like, working on this. And that's what's blowing my mind.
I found out what bae means by a Twitter search. Like,
context clues.
And I mean, seriously, you can tell what it is. Like,
context clues.
Come on. He's like, I love my bae. What was he going to love? Like, what else? Like,
his book. His coffee.
I guess. Like, this is just ridiculous. So, yeah, that's that. So we're coming to a close of the show.
We are.
And we have to leave you with a few words.
Yep. It's time for 10 words or less.
And it's funny because my 10 words or less is actually there's a word called stage in it. And Jevna released to us that she's a stage nerd or theater nerd. But anyways, 10 words or less. All drama must remain on the stage.
What you trying to say?
And what I mean is, like, I'm like, it's obvious what that means. Right. And I found it somewhere, but I just liked it because I guess because I'm an anti-drama. I'm dramatic. I will admit to being dramatic, but being dramatic is very different. Hold the phone.
Oh, I'm saving this forever. Kisa just admitted she's dramatic.
I think I have before.
Whatever. I'm saving this. Now I got to record it.
No, I am dramatic, but I don't like drama. They're two very different things.
Most people who say they don't like drama be in drama all the time.
When the last time you ever heard me be in drama?
I don't know.
You never heard me be in drama.
I'm just saying. Pound. Just saying.
Anyways, like I said, I don't like drama. And you can leave the drama on the stage, okay? Get you some acting lessons and work it out. That's all.
Kisa doesn't see it for y'all. So my quote today is, fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Jevna is trolling us. Like, she's trolling herself.
Real talk. Like, I need to get my life. I've been taking procrastination to new, ignorant levels.
Oh, and Time, don't try to investigate what troll means. I'll tell you what it means, Time Magazine.
I think they got that, though.
Oh, okay.
Trolls have been on the interwebs for a while now.
Oh, okay. So hopefully interwebs, y'all know what that means.
Is that vernacular?
I don't even know.
Whatever. That's what I said. No, but like, really, y'all, like, procrastinators, like, we need to stop this.
No, I am a serious procrastinator.
We need to stop this madness. It's not okay. You be so stressed.
You know what? I always tell myself, you're going to get it done. And I do, so.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't stress no more because some way, somehow, if it has to be done, I get it done.
You think if it was meant to be, it'll be?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't stress it no more. If it's going to get done, it's going to get done.
I feel like a certain level of stress is necessary. I mean, listen, I'm so speaking for myself right now. I know I need to get my life together. So for anybody else, this is, I'm sure there are plenty of y'all out here who are like, testify, Jevna, okay, Bible, okay. I know some of y'all hear me and y'all need to hear those little words so you can get your lives together.
True life. And I mean, I do need to get my life together in some ways, but I don't stress about it. But I do need to get
I don't think you should stress about it because, because only thing you know that's certain in life is that life is not certain. Is that another 10 words or less?
Oh, God.
But no, but like
Jevna,
you can't.
And these cliches.
But I'm just saying. No, but that's real. Like, you can't prepare for everything.
No, true life.
But at the same time, you can't be planning to do things at the last minute because if these curveballs come your way, like, you still got to get things done. So
no, for real.
That's it.
Makes sense.
That's all I'm saying.
So that's it.
That's our show.
We definitely, you know, we've been begging you for this. Is like the eighth week.
For this. She's dropping some patois. Kisa is serious, y'all. She's not playing. Y'all better hit up our Gmail. Y'all better send us some feedback. Okay?
Y'all better tweet us. Y'all better do something.
Okay.
All right. Or else we're going to come find you.
Right. And we're on iTunes now, so I don't want
to
hear it.
I'm about to get cultural on y'all. Right. Bring out the ratchet and the machete.
The machete. Y'all, this is an unsafe work environment. Can somebody please send us some feedback? I don't feel safe.
JK. Mm. I'm very white, you know. I'm chill.
All right, bye.
I'm trolling y'all.
Kisa needs to have all the seats. She's coming for the president, and now she wants to talk all this mess. Okay, seriously, y'all know the deal. Y'all know the drill. If you don't know by now, we are on iTunes, so all you have to do is search Talk 360 Show, and you can start following us there. Get automatic updates to your iTunes every week. Of course, we're always on our Tumblr, talk360show.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. We're on our SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/talk360show. You know the Twitter,
Talk360 Show.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's always numbers, y'all.
Yeah.
360. Mm-hmm. Show. And ask talk360@gmail.com. So hit us up. Let us know.
If
any of y'all like ever actually look into any of the faves that we recommend.
No,
and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, for real. Like,
I
let us know
hear
if you like
anything
liked
and everything.
Yeah,
like,
and if you read an article and you have comment, because actually we went to dinner the other day and like there was mention of a topic we talked about and we talked about it a little bit at dinner. But come on, like send it so we can actually like remember and talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I'm waiting for the day. Like, oh my God, I don't know. I might throw a party for whoever. Don't quote that. That's not real. But there might be a little prize or something. Can I get
Jevna
some
about
feedback?
To get you something for a dollar. Don't listen
you
to her.
You don't know my life. But I'm just saying, like, I'm just waiting for somebody to pop our feedback cherry.
Exceeded.
I mean,
where's her prize?
She did.
Anyways, y'all, thank you for listening.
That was Talk 360.
We will... See you next week.
We're out. Bye.